So last week we started a new sermon series called Passport. Passport is what I would refer to as our church mission. This is what we're about. And the display in the foyer kind of spells it out. We offer a passport class a couple of times during the year. It's during the Sunday service. We'll be offering one again in two or three months. But the class is much more detailed than what we're going to be covering here, and just some more opportunity for discussion. But the class is there to kind of help you get a better feel for who we are as a church, a little bit of our church history, maybe understand our values and you know what we're trying to do. We do not offer what we would refer to as formal membership here at our church. But we do believe that the class can help you get a better understanding of our church. And then even though we don't have a formal membership, we definitely believe that people do better when they're part of a church family. So it's not like we're anti being a part of a church family. Just at this time in our church's history, we're not offering formal membership. We just want you to consider being part of the family. And so this is what we're covering with our passport. But passport is what we're about. This is really what we focus on, and this is what we try to balance everything we do against. And so in our display in the foyer, it shows a picture of a compass, and there's four different parts on the compass. The north we call finding God, the east we call that finding friends, the south we call that finding others and bringing others along on the journey, and then the west is about finding purpose. And so we're trying to accomplish what I think every church, every true church, should be trying to accomplish the same thing. Jesus gave all the churches, all Christians, the same commission: make disciples. And that was the final command that he gave: make disciples, followers of Christ. And every church goes about doing that in their own unique and different way. That's why there are so many Christian churches in the city. I know sometimes people get upset about that, but I'm not upset about that. I think that's the full expression of the body of Christ. I don't think one local church can do it all. Each church has their own unique way of going about how they are making disciples of Christ and what is their priority and what is their focus. And so as we try to share with you, our passport program helps you understand this is how we go about it. This is how we're trying to make disciples of Christ. We're trying to fulfill the Great Commission. And in doing so, we think that if you follow this, this will be helpful, and this is what we're committed to. So last week we covered the first one. We call that True North, and that is about finding God. And we talked about the fact that just like with a compass, just like when you're traveling, if you don't get your bearings straight first, if you don't know where you're at, you cannot really travel to get where you're supposed to be. And so North is about finding God. And until a person has a true life-changing encounter with God, your journey will never lead you where you're supposed to go. You will wander aimlessly through life. But we are convinced if we can help you find God and get that settled, then the rest will fall into place. And so what we try to do is that after we help people make that initial encounter with God, we want to encourage you, continue on the journey. It's a journey. It's a lifelong journey, and everybody's a little different. Maybe after you encounter God, you need to head east and start working on strengthening your relationships with people. Maybe you're okay there, but maybe you need to head west and start working on your purpose. What are you doing with your life? Where are you serving? What are you involved in? What are your gifts and talents? Maybe that's okay. Maybe you need to head south and be encouraged. Are there some people in your life? Are there coworkers? Are there neighbors? Are there relatives that you could invite to join this journey, because they need to find God just like the rest of us? And so that's what we're covering in this series. Today we're going to talk about going west, and that is finding purpose. I'm going to read two passages of scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 20. We're going to look at Jesus's approach to ministry, or what I would say finding his purpose. And this is a passage of scriptures that you get to see some contrast in, because it starts in chapter 20 and it's verse 20, and says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him," which would be Jesus, "with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. He said to her, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand, the other on your left, in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm about to be baptized with?' They said to him, 'We're able.' And he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it's for those for whom is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. I'm sure none of us would have that experience, you know. Like, what's up with that, man? But Jesus said to them, called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. You, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Summary here, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is telling us his purpose in life. This is his purpose. This is why we call finding your purpose related to serving. Jesus said, I did not come here to be served. I came to serve and to give my life for everyone. So when we talk about finding purpose, or we talk about serving, we're talking about modeling our lives after Jesus. This is what he was all about. But the sad truth is, way too many Christians have the attitude that the mother of Zebedee's two sons had, or the sons had. Here's mom saying to Jesus, you know, my boys have been following you for a few years, and you know, you're going to be the new king, the Messiah. Can they have a position in your cabinet? Can they be, you know, given some authority? And Jesus goes, man, you're missing the point. This is not what it's about. But a lot of times Christians get this kind of mentality. They have that encounter with God. They find true north, and then that's the end of their journey. Or they start thinking, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? How am I being served? Are my needs being met? And they start looking inward. And here's Jesus saying, listen, that's not what it's about. You find God, and the journey is about actually finding yourself as you lose yourself by serving others. It's the contrary thinking and teaching of the kingdom of God. It is not a kingdom of this world. It's a totally different kingdom. And he's telling them, this is the way it works. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. I am convinced that a Christian will never mature in his faith until he finds a place where he can start serving. And I don't think you ever really find your purpose in life until you start serving. This is a primary foundational principle. This is the difference between a believer and a disciple. I don't think very many Christians even realize there is a difference. There's a difference. You can be a believer and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but that doesn't make you a disciple. A disciple is a doer of the work of the kingdom of God. It is a disciplined follower. It's someone who is doing something to help advance the kingdom of God. He's a disciplined follower of Christ. He's actively involved. And so if you're not actively involved, you may be a believer, but that's not a disciple. And I believe the church's responsibility is to encourage you. There's more. And truly, it is in the losing of your life and the serving of your life that you will find your life, which is what you're looking for anyway, but you have to do it God's way. We also believe that serving is a little bit more than just giving of your time. Serving is giving of your life, which also includes giving of your money. A disciple is someone who invests their money in the kingdom of God. So we believe and teach passionately that tithing is a significant part of being a disciple. Some people, sad to say, never get that revelation. And my sadness is not that you're being disobedient. I think you are when you're not tithing, but I think you're missing the blessing. It's when you tithe, you're opening your wallet to God to bless your finances. But again, it's not the purpose of it. You're being obedient as a disciplined follower. You're investing, you're serving. This is what discipleship is. So when Jesus talks about serving, what that means is we're to be servants. So in God's kingdom, there are no bench warmers. If we had pews, I would say no pew setters. And no stuffed chair setters. Matter of fact, I probably need to give you an FYI, so probably some of you are nervous. Our Matthew's party coming up March the 7th, we won't mess with the chairs. Is everybody okay? Everybody, some of you are just shaking there. I just know, like, please don't do that again. I don't know. It's something. I got a wire crossed up there, I think. I just don't know. But it's just kind of fun to move the chairs around and shake things up a little. But again, this idea of serving, it's the belief that we are all called to the ministry of serving. It's not for the professionals. It's not for the staff. It's following our Lord. And there's no age barrier here. You start young and you continue serving into your old age. You don't quit. It's a lifelong journey. And it shifts and adjusts as we go. It picks up. It slows down. I mean, we have at our church, we analyze this every year at the end of the year. We have approximately 50 what we would refer to different ministries in the church right now. 50 different ministries. Some of them are simple ministries. Some of them could take a lot of commitment. Some of them take just a few hours. Some of them may just be involved baking a pie for one of our events. But when you bake a pie, I think you're serving the family. You're serving the church of God. But some of them are like on Sunday morning. We've got greeters, hosts, ushers. We've got worship team, prayer ministry. We've got people in the office. We've got people in the control room. We just have so many different people helping out. Children's ministry. So there's people, that's a higher level of commitment. We have ministries going on during the week, all different kinds of clinics that happen, the people that have those different skills, people that are there supporting them. But the idea is, we believe as a church, in order to make disciples, we need to give you opportunity to find a place where you can serve. So we make as many opportunities as possible. We have very, very little restriction. We're not asking you to measure up to a certain measure before you can get involved in a ministry. We're looking to give you the opportunity to serve so that you can follow Jesus and be his disciple and say, yes, this is my purpose in life. It isn't about me. It isn't about me finding myself. It's about me losing my life as a follower of Christ that I may serve others. So Paul talked about this. I want to turn to this other passage here. But Paul talked about this and used an analogy in 1 Corinthians, when he talked about the body of Christ. It's a great analogy to kind of drive this home, because when we talk about serving, what we're really talking about is learning who you are, your gifts and talents, your abilities, your skills, and trying to use that wherever you have an opportunity. So I want to turn to 1 Corinthians this morning, and we'll read this passage. Paul talked about this whole idea of serving, but he's doing it in a metaphorical way, where he talks about the body of Christ, the church of Christ, like a body. So it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll start in verse 12. When he refers to the body, he's talking about the church here. So he says, for as the body, first here he's talking about the body, the physical body, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. They're referring to the church, so also is the body of Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free. We've all been made to drink into that one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it is of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set his members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one members, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and all members individually. So he teaches this whole thing about the body, which we know how the body isn't one piece, one eye, one ear. But what he's trying to teach is that just like our body functions, he sums it up in verse 27. But you now, you're the body of Christ. And it's a great analogy. He's trying to teach us that we have to find our place. And this is stuff that people do research on when they study people who lose significant jobs, or they study people when they go into retirement, or they study people who experience empty nest syndrome and they don't have anything waiting for them after that. They just go from being needed, having an occupation, being important, and all of a sudden they move into retirement, or they have an empty nest and they don't have anything going for them. Generally, that's detrimental to their health. Because God made us to be a part of something significant. We are supposed to be needed. And when you're not needed and when you're not doing anything, your value of your life diminishes. And this happens in the church. When people come to church and come to church and don't ever find a place to serve, I tell you, your faith stagnates. Your ability to grow is limited. You're supposed to be a part of the body of Christ. And just to kind of sum this teaching up, there's like three really simple lessons I get from when reading this passage about us being members of the body of Christ. The first one is, we are all different and unique. Now, we know that. We've even heard things like how every snowflake is unique and different. But we are different. And we have to kind of deal with that, because sometimes people really struggle and try to put everybody in classes and categories. We're always trying to understand somebody, and you're like this, and you're like this, and you're like this. You know, the people who are into astrology. I was at the store a while back. A lady in front of me was talking about, I forget what sign she was, Taurus or something. And the guy at the cash register, he was into astrology, and he's asking her stuff, and, you know, what's your reading today? And then he turns to me and says, what's your sign? I said, my sign's the cross, buddy. I said, Jesus controls my actions. He goes, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. You need to be born again, I said. Ah, I'm on the hunt anyway. You don't want to mess with me right now, you know. I want to lay hands on everybody. I don't know, you know, just. But anyway, you know, I'm not into astrology. You shouldn't be. You really shouldn't be. That stuff is wrong. But sometimes Christians kind of get into this thing about grouping everybody. You know, are you phlegmatic? Are you, you know, melancholy? And trying to put people into different categories. But here's Paul trying to say, no, look it, man. Just like my hand is not my eye, and just like my eye is not my ear, they're different. They're just different, man. We are different people. And we have to come to grips with that. I don't care what kind of personality test you take and what kind of group they put you in, you really don't fit there exactly. I don't know if you've ever seen this acronym called SHAPE, but it's trying to teach the fact that every one of us are different. And there's different aspects that make us different. Like SHAPE would represent, S would be like spiritual gifts. Everybody has different spiritual gifts. Everybody has different quantities of spiritual gifts. A lot of this gift, not so much of that gift. That's what S stands for. H stands for head, like what's going on inside your head. Everybody's wired differently. You know, we process things differently in our head. We have different intellectual approaches, so we don't look at things the same way. A is for abilities. We have all kinds of abilities. Some of us really good with our hands. Some of us not good with our hands. Sometimes God gives us spiritual gifts that are in conjunction with our natural abilities, and it kind of enhances our natural abilities. I think brings them to their full maturity. But we have different abilities. P is for personality and passion. I mean, everybody's got different elements of personality. Everybody has different things that get you excited. And then E is for education and experience. You know, we have all different experiences from growing up into adulthood. You have different family life that you've experienced. You've had different dramatic things happen, painful experiences, joyful experiences. And so all of those come together and they shape you to be who you are, which means you and only you can do what God's asking you to do. If somebody else does it, it will not be done the same. No, none of us do it exactly the same. And Paul's trying to bring this out, saying, look, you're not the ear, you're not the eye. And if you think you're the lesser part of the body, he says, we honor that. We need all the body. We need the whole body to work. We need everyone to be on this. So the first thing is just realizing, look, we are different. We're not the same. No matter what anybody says, you are made uniquely you. Not another person has that shape that you have. Second thing that jumps out at me here is we don't function well on our own. Like, what happens if I'm at work and I cut my finger off and I don't get it attached quickly? What happens to my finger? It dies. Yeah, what happens if I cut a toe off and I don't get it attached quickly? What happens to my toe? It dies. Even though at one point it was a part of my body, when it's broken away, when it's cut off, it dies. It only functions properly when it's a part of my body. And I believe Paul's trying to teach here that you as a part of the body of Christ, you don't function well by yourself. When people get isolated and they get separated and they start pulling away from the body of Christ, that spells doom. I mean, first of all, those are the people the enemy just attacks vehemently. But you just have to realize you were not made to function alone. There's no lone ranger kind of concept in the kingdom of God. God wants us to be part of a family. And as part of the family, we're part of the body. And when we're part of the body, we're functioning as we're supposed to. And then the third thing is, we need each other's gifts. This is the thing he's really emphasizing here when he's saying, like in verse 20, but now indeed we are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. We need each other. If we're going to function properly, I need all parts of my body to function properly. When one part of my body is out of whack, my whole body feels it. When my back's out of whack, everything hurts. I've got pain someplace, the rest of my body's trying to compensate. Well, spiritually, it's the same way. We need each other. We need each other. We cannot do without. This is what Paul's teaching. If you want the body of Christ to be in shape, if we want the church to be healthy and flourishing, we need you. 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 It's the way the body is built. You know what? We can compensate without you, just like my body compensates. If I had a finger amputated or I had a hand amputated, I had something, you know, dismembered from my body would compensate. But it would be somewhat handicapped. I'd have to try to compensate for that. Well, the body of Christ is never going to stop. God's going to accomplish his will, whether we're a part of it or not. But why not be a part of it so that we're not making the body of Christ struggle? We need each other. When the feet are functioning properly with my body, then my hands will function properly because I will get where I'm supposed to go. When the body of Christ is functioning properly, then the body of Christ will accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. And the point here is, it isn't about the different body parts. It doesn't matter. The body parts are here to help the body accomplish its purpose. And so as we serve and as we seek to accomplish what we're supposed to do, then we're helping the overall purpose of the body to allow it to accomplish what God wants it to do. So, in summary here, I just want to wrap this up and say, look, being a part of the kingdom of God, in my opinion, is the great adventure. I think serving, as you capture serving in your heart, you begin to realize this is really where life is. That's why we call it finding purpose. As you begin to understand, man, I find life when I serve. This is the craving in every person's heart, is to find your purpose and your calling. You find it in serving. And I don't believe it's like God reveals to you all of it in one piece. Here's your purpose in life. This is what you do the rest of your life. I've referred to this many times. I think it's a day by day. It is a day by day. What's your calling for me today? Where do you have me placed? Who do you want me to help? Why am I on this job? Why am I at this place? Why am I doing this? And you're looking with this mentality, my purpose, just like Jesus, everything Jesus did was about serving. It was about sacrificing his life that he could accomplish the will of God. The awesome reality of this understanding of the body of Christ and you being a member is that every one of you are a 10 in some specialty. I know most of us don't think that, but you really are a 10. You've been created by God, gifted by God, given abilities, given passions, personality, wired in your brain so that only you can function as a 10 in that ability and that skill. Every one of us. There's no second string. There's no third string on God's team. We're all on the same plane, and we all get to play, and we all get to be a part of advancing God's kingdom. Amen? Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you that, well, first of all, that you even want us to be representatives of you. It's a little overwhelming when we think about it, that we are representing the God of the universe. But I thank you, God, that you've given us your Holy Spirit who helps us. That really it's not us, it's us submitting to you, Holy Spirit, and allowing you to speak through us and move through us. We want to be a part of your kingdom. God, we want to be more than just a believer. We want to be a disciple, a disciplined follower of Jesus. We want to be in on the action. We want to be on the field playing, God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you awaken that desire in every one of us, God, that our eyes are open, that we begin to see our purpose is the same as Jesus' purpose, that we're here to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Give us the eyes to see, God, as we go to work, as we're in our community, as we're with our family and friends, as we're moving about, God, who is it that we can help? Who is it that we can serve? How can we be a part of advancing your kingdom? And God, I just thank you for the many different ministries that take place here at this church, God. And it's fulfilling, Father. I just love to see people using their gifts and talents. And I pray you continue to help us as a church, God, that we can help people find that place on the compass where they're serving, where they have a place where they use their gifts and talents. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to take our offering. Have our ushers come forward. We have our prayer team up front. Let's get ready to close in prayer. Let's take a moment. Just what we were singing. Just open your hearts up. This is rich right here. This is the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Just fill us, Holy Spirit. Surrender our lives to you, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, which is so abundant. Stirring in my spirit as I was worshiping, I just got this sense. Some of you have been really struggling with your sleep patterns, losing sleep. I even got this word that some of you are starting to take some sleeping aids. And not that that's evil in and of itself, but I just sense the Holy Spirit would like to bring a better healing than the sleeping pills. And maybe it's anxiety or other things you're dealing with. So if you, also I got this thing of nightmares, somebody dealing with some bad nightmares. So your sleeping's not working out like it should. I just believe the Holy Spirit's putting his hand on that today. And if you'd like some prayer, we're going to offer prayer as we close with a song. And also, I just got this word that somebody here has a really bad sinus infection. I've been fighting it for a while, not making any progress. Is there somebody here dealing with that? Somebody, sinus infection? Hold your hand up. Is that you, Darcy? You got your hand up? Anybody else got their hand up? Oh gosh, yeah, okay, I'm talking sinus infection right now. You're dealing with sinus infection right now? Well, let's do this. Keep your hand up. If you got your hand up, if you're around them, we're going to pray for you right now. And I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit of God drives that infection out right now. So everybody, just point your hand towards somebody who's got their hands up. I just sense the Holy Spirit wants to bring the healing now. This should not be lingering. So if you got sinus infection, hold your hand up. Make sure somebody's around. Put their hands right on you. We're going to speak right to the sinus infection. We're not going to pray about it. We're going to speak to it as though it's an invader. We're going to command that infection to get out of your body now, for your body to be healed, that swelling to go down. In the name of Jesus, we pray right now, Holy Spirit of God, we rebuke this infection right now, this lingering infection. In the name of Jesus, be gone right now. We curse you, command you to get out of the body. Any swelling, any other disease in the name of Jesus, we just speak against it. Command that sinus to be healed right now. God, transform their minds that they begin to see themselves healed. This is not their lot in life. Their sinuses are to be healed in Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name. Stop running, stop dripping, work properly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Bless you. Bless you. In the name of Jesus, bless you. All right, we're going to close with a song. If you need prayer, we've got people up here. I'd be happy to pray with you.
Peace. your love. Thank you for your sweet, sweet, sweet presence. Thank you for meeting us here. I pray you guys have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday.